Open up to John chapter 10. We're going to be there in a moment. Page 1072 in the Pew Bible. As this series on agape love is just having one more Sunday after this Sunday, yet it's something that we'll talk about all along. If you think in terms of agape love being a sacrificial love, specifically self-sacrifice for what is good for someone else, good for another, specifically spiritual good, but also physical, you realize pretty quickly that agape love supersedes just feelings. Phileo love is about a reciprocation of feeling. Agape goes far beyond where phileo would stop. It says, I'm going to continue to do what's good for you, even if it comes at great pain to me. Then he continues, and you think through what we've been studying, that it goes beyond what is our natural inclination. It stops, phileo does, a long time before you get to agape. Agape says, I'm going to continue to go even beyond what's natural to get to. And of course, it's not throttled or controlled by emotions. Some people let emotions and those feelings control the way they love. In all actuality, it should be agape love that controls and tempers our emotions and our feelings. And it even thrives, agape love does, in the midst of difficulty and hardship. It's what gives us the ability to endure. This morning, we're going to be dealing specifically with agape endures all things. This is one of those times where all literally means all. There is nothing that can stand in the way of agape love. Nothing of man can intercede. Agape love will overpower. As you sit back and think, we can't come to this agape love without knowing God and being born of Him. This is not something of man. Man can't touch it until he comes to Jesus. That's where you find agape love, to be born of Him. Patience is the gateway to agape love. Impatient people will never get beyond their emotions and their feelings, and they will never draw near to the agape love that has been given. Also, you think in terms of kindness. A kindness that says, I don't care how you treat me, I'm still going to love you. And I don't care how bad it gets. Then to think in terms of this agape love rejoices with the truth. It won't ever step away from the truth of God. It's a love that bears all things, it covers. As we love, God says, I'll cover you. As we look to love and cover other people to protect them. But yet to understand, God will be the one who decides when we no longer have to go down that path to love someone. Let Him reign. Love that believes all things. Trust. And the hope that it has is born out of that faith in God. I trust you'll keep your promises. That's what brings us to a love that endures all things. The idea behind endurance literally means to bear up courageously while suffering. In the midst of the greatest difficulty, love is what enables us, by the power of God, to continue. Because agape endures all things. As you think about that, love is never outmatched. It's never the point of the situation is too big. Agape endures all things. I want you to notice here in John chapter 10, look down at verses 17 and 18. Jesus speaks, for this reason the Father agapes me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. He says, I know. Here in John 10, 17, I know why my Father loves me. I know why He agapes me. Because I'm willing to lay my life down. Have you made that decision in your life yet? Do you know that if you choose to agape, do you know that the Father loves you? He makes a statement, I lay down my life so that I may take it again. I know the promises that lie ahead. I've got faith in God and I have hope in God that I'm going to be raised up. Look at verse 18. He says, no one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. Agape love is voluntary. It is not something that you will be pushed into. You will have to choose whether you will love like that. And Jesus says, and I have the authority. Look at the rest of verse 18. He says, I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. He says, I have the authority to not do it. I have the authority to choose to agape. And I know because I agape love, my Father loves me. There's choice in agape love. You'll have to choose whether to love God or not. And in making that choice, you'll have to lay down your life. And all that that entails. Notice, he says, this commandment I received from my Father. My Father told me this is his commandment. I have the choice whether I'm going to be faithful in it or not. Notice what this brought about in the people. Look at verse 19. He says, a division occurred again among the Jews because of these words. They were listening to this, and all of a sudden, they start to kind of get divided in their allegiance toward Jesus. And they're thinking of Jesus. Verse 20. Here's what some of them were even saying. Many of them were saying, even the majority, many of them were saying, he has a demon and is insane. Why do you listen to him? When you get down to it, to the physical world, agape love sounds like insanity. Why in the world would you ever sacrifice for the benefit of somebody else who hates you? Why would you love your enemy? Why would you love your brother or sister who's hurt your feelings? That's to the world. They said, he has a demon. Somebody might think you're just crazy for loving like God. To lay down out of your own voluntary choice, like Jesus, for what's better for somebody else. Look another chapter or two over, John chapter 14. Last verse of the chapter, look down at verse 7, verse 31, page 1079. This is the last statements that Jesus makes before leaving the upper room in John's account here. John 14, 31. But so that the world may know that I agape the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. Get up. Let us go from here. He says, so that the world may know that I love the Father. He says, I'm going to show all the world that I agape God. That I will sacrifice myself because of what he has commanded and what he has said. He says, I want them to know. I'm going to make it known. He says, the world may know that I love the Father. I do exactly as the Father commanded. He says, that's how I'm going to walk. That's how I'm going to respond. If you notice, we've seen it here, we've seen it before, as the Father commanded me. I want you to think about some words. They come out of 1 John. We're not going to turn there. But in 1 John 3, 16 and 18, I want you to listen to these verses. And it's John the Apostle who writes, and the same John who was there at the foot of the cross to see Jesus lay down his life. He saw Jesus lay it down right in front of him, and he got to see every aspect of it. And listen to what John says. This is 1 John 3, 16 and 18. We know agape by this, that he laid down his life for us. John took the cross personal. He said he laid it down for us. He saw the endurance of agape love in Jesus. He saw the difficulties that came around because of Jesus' life. Not just at his crucifixion, but all through the life that John had been there with him. He says, I saw Jesus lay it down. He's the Son of God. He makes the statement, we know agape by this. He says that he laid down his life for us. He laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That should be easy. It should be easy to lay our lives down for one another. He laid his life down for a bunch of sinners, ungodly enemies. Loving one another should be easy compared to loving our enemies. Then over there in 1 John 3, verse 18, John goes on to make this statement. He says, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. Agape love is not a spoken expression. It is an expression shown out of action and motive. I want you to take a thought for just a moment. In all four gospel accounts, how many people did Jesus tell them, I love you? How many? You don't even need fingers to count. Not even. Yet what do you know? Because of his action? Because of his motives? What do you see? He laid down his life for us. If you want to see that in your life, maybe take aside a month out of the year and just tell yourself, you know what, I'm not going to tell anybody that I love them this month. And see if you're fine with your actions showing your love for them. It'll show you the reality of agape love. It's not cheap and it's not words. It's actions. And to lay our lives down like Jesus did. Doesn't mean it's wrong to tell somebody that you love them. But maybe it'll help us to see a little bit more clearly that distinction. Look at the Gospel of John. Look at chapter 17. Last two verses of chapter 17. Verses 25 and 26. Page 1082. Jesus is making his way out of the upper room. Now he's moving toward, and in the beginning of chapter 18, he's going to cross over the Kidron Ravine to go up to the Mount of Olives, to the Garden of Gethsemane, but he's not there yet. And along the way, you get chapter 17 that shows Jesus' prayer to the Father. John 17:25. He says, O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you. And these have known that you sent me. These being the 11 apostles that are right there with them. Judas is already gone. He says, these have known that you sent me. Verse 26. And I have made your name known to them. I've told them about you. They know your name. They know who you are in character. That's what a name is. He says, and I have made your name known to them and will make it known. And they're getting ready to see it in all of its glory. A love that endures all things. The rest of verse 26. And the reason that I'm going to do it, so that the love, the agape with which you have agaped me, may be in them. The reason Jesus is laying down his life out of agape love for his Father is to keep his commands. And so that our sins would be paid for. And not that only, but that we would be forgiven. So that we could also walk in agape love like Jesus. He didn't just die to take our sins away. He died so that agape love could dwell in your heart and you would live it every day of the rest of our lives. And this is what his final statements in this prayer are to God. So that the agape with which you agape me may be in them. And I in them. Because you can't have Jesus in you without agape love. It's got to be growing in us. Taking us over completely. Look back at Luke chapter 23. Page 1054. Luke 23, we're going to start in verse 26. Luke 23, 26. Jesus has already been scourged. He's already had the crown of thorns beaten upon his brow. He's fatigued. Sleep deprived. Exhausted. As you think about Jesus, he's mentally stressed. All that comes before you get to verse 26. He's not coming into this thing having the best day of his life in terms of physical. He's going to have to overcome emotion. He's going to have to overcome feeling. He's going to have to overcome natural inclinations. He's going to have to choose patience. Because it is the gateway to agape love. He's going to have to show kindness to people who hate him. And look at how the love of God covers Jesus. Verse 26, when they led Jesus away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, coming in from the country, and placed on him the cross to carry behind him. Jesus is so physically fatigued and exhausted, he cannot carry the crossbeam anymore. If you were to just imagine, I don't know that these are the details, imagine a cedar post, 10 inches by 10 inches, 6 feet long. He weighs 150 pounds. He can't carry that anymore. He's too weak. And so the love of God comes in to cover him. I will help you. And he uses Simon of Cyrene to help him bear the cross, to get out to where he can die for us. Notice as it continues. Look for a love that does not seek its own. Verses 27 and 28. He says, and following him was a large crowd of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, stop weeping for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. Agape love does not seek its own. He's living out the most excruciating thing on this earth. And he says, don't worry about me. Think about you. That's agape love. Look down a little bit further. Look into verses 30. Look at verse 33. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him. And the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. If you can imagine being crucified with some kind of metal stake, where they would actually pierce it through somewhere in the hand and the wrist, into that wood, that you couldn't even carry, lay your life down. There's agape love. It goes beyond physical pain. It's not concerned about self. Crucified along with two other criminals. Now look at a love that keeps no account of a wrong suffered. Verse 34. But Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. He's stripped of his garments, maybe down to a loincloth or less. They're trying to shame him. Agape love will not be controlled by the shame of somebody else. I'll lay myself down. My Father agapes me, and I agape him. I don't care what they think, but I love him. And he shows it by his actions. I'm not going to keep account of wrong and suffering. Father, forgive me. They don't know what they're doing. And if you just imagine how difficult it was just to raise himself up on the cross to get a big enough breath to make that statement. It's a sacrifice that he's even talking. He wants to communicate it. He doesn't communicate it to say, I love you. He communicates it in his words and his deeds. His actions. Father, forgive me. Now, you notice it, look a little bit further down. Look at verse 36 and 37. Look for a love that is not provoked. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up to him, offering him sour wine, and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. Not only do they mock him, they give him sour wine. If you've ever had in one of these communion cups, maybe the juice had turned on you and you took it and you went, oh, that's terrible. You ever thought that Jesus took sour wine? Get to share in this relationship with him. If you think in terms of the suffering, what's in the digestive tract of Jesus at this point? Is it not the meal of the Passover? What we remember every week? Honor the death and resurrection of Jesus. To remember who we've been called to be in this new covenant. Yet here, he's mocked and given this sour wine. Agape will not be provoked. You're not going to draw me out because of emotion and feeling and stress and mood. I'm going beyond the physical. I'm going to the spiritual. Look down at verse 39. Look for a love that rejoices with the truth. One of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other answered and rebuking him said, do you not even fear God since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? Have you no fear? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. He said, we're getting exactly what we deserve. Exactly. Jesus, will you remember me when your kingdom comes? He sees that Jesus is there dying. He knows that he's dying. He's got faith in what Jesus is saying. And Jesus rejoices with the truth. You mean we can find faith here? Verse 43. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Rejoicing. Takes care of. There's a love that rejoices with the truth. If you stop and think about it, this thief is being crucified with Christ, taking faith in what Jesus is saying. When we're baptized into Jesus, we're crucified with Christ, laying down our lives, our sinful life, so that we can be raised up in newness of life, to agape love like Jesus loved. And that's why he died. take away our sin. Look down at verse 46. He says, and Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. Father, it's yours. Agape love endures all things. All. And because Jesus loved, he endured it all. He wouldn't be provoked. He wouldn't be unforgiving. He wouldn't turn away while being mocked. He would love agape love. If you stop and think about it, I want you to notice verse 47. And when the centurion saw what had happened, he began praising God, saying, certainly this man was innocent. Even a Roman centurion could look at Jesus, having endured all of these things, and he says, I got one thing to say. We know in other places he said some other things too. Certainly this man was innocent. If you want to continue to stand in the innocence of Jesus, you'll have to choose to agape love. And when you choose to agape love in Jesus, you'll find a love that will never be outmatched. The circumstances will never be too hard. The problems will never be too big. Because agape endures all things. An agape that was made to bear up under suffering and difficulty. And God Himself will protect you. It doesn't mean it won't cost your life. But it means you'll be taken care of. Consider that thought. Hebrews 12 verse 3 puts it this way. For consider him who endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In the midst of difficulties, stop looking at yourself and your own limitations. Look at Jesus. Look at the sufferings that he endured, and know that if I walk by agape love, I can endure all things. That's the agape love that Jesus died, and we could share it. And he overcame death, raised a walk in life forever. Jesus said it a couple times. He who endures to the end shall be saved. The only way to endure is to love like Jesus loved. And to agape like him.